I am continuing the spring cleaning series here at the House of Judah. Everybody feel all right? I see some faces I haven't seen in a while, and you definitely look good in Jesus. You saying, bruh, where are you going? Why did you put on your gloves? First of all, this doesn't mean that I'm going to speak any longer. It just means that I'm going somewhere. Everybody say, he's going somewhere. I am going somewhere, all right? I am going somewhere. So I have one prayer this morning because God's presence is already here. It's already here. But did you guys enjoy USC Upstate? They sung like they rode here in a limo, didn't they? I knew y'all were going to sing good this morning. But it's just an honor to work with this group of students. I told them in the back, I said, listen, on Wednesdays, I usually have about 12 minutes to try to do a devotional. Today, I got an hour. But I ain't going to take it. And they're probably saying, bruh, not only do you got more than 15 minutes, you got handouts for us. I'm trying to leave school. So this is definitely so you can engage with what I'm saying today. Have you ever been to church and you left church and you say, what did the man talk about today? Or the woman of God talked about today? And you say, I don't know. Has that ever been your testimony? But now you got something to take with you, all right, and study it later. So my one prayer this morning, since God's presence is already here, is that, Lord, everybody pray with me. Everybody say, Lord, this season, do something about this pollen. Amen. That's my prayer. He's already here. This atmosphere is already blessed. So thank you, Brother Lawrence. So we're going to talk about, we're going to continue the spring cleaning series that all of the teachers here have been talking about and the scripture that we have been lifting up. Guys, listen, there's a lot of scriptures that I'm going to lift. Please don't let that be a sleeping pill or Benadryl for you today. If you have to stand up and pop up like popcorn because you're getting sleepy, I'm okay with that. But I don't know no other way to teach the word of God than to teach the word of God. If I get up here and don't crack open the Bible, it's like, it's just my opinion. That makes sense? So you want to make sure, so you're getting sleepy already, you want to make sure that just the thought of these scriptures, but I'm okay with that. But these scriptures, the Bible says the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. All right, so the scripture we're lifting this morning is Psalm 24:3. I would not keep this backpack on the entire time. I can promise you that because it has stuff in it for this journey. On this faith journey, I'm going somewhere. Read this with me. Psalm 24:3 says, who may ascend to the hill or the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? All right. David wrote this, and he is starting this passage off with a question. You guys have heard me talk about the power of a question, of asking a question. Because a question, asking a question can get you a lot of revelation, can get you a lot of wisdom. David was a man of God that asked, he had questions. He had questions. He was a believer, but he had questions because David wrote this and he said, who? Everybody say who? To be honest, many of us as believers, we have questions. We have questions. We have unanswered questions. David is saying, he's writing here. He is saying, who shall ascend? It sounds like he's curious, right? He said, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, to the mountain of the Lord? But to be honest, I'm kind of like David. I have questions about God's process. God has a process. Everybody say, God has a process. He has a process for a lot. He has a process for everything. Honestly, he has a process for blessings. Anybody need a blessing from God this morning? He has a process for salvation. He has a process for healings, believe it or not. Read the Bible and he has a process. Everybody say process. So I'm like David, I do have questions. I have questions about faith. What is faith? What do we do with faith? Can you touch faith? We can't touch faith. Can you touch faith? You can't touch faith? Do you have faith? You have faith, but can you touch faith? Questions about free will. Am I up here because I'm free to be up here, or am I up here because something is making me be up here? Alpheus has questions. Anybody else like Alpheus and David have questions this morning? I have questions about getting my prayers answered. Anybody ever ask God for something and it didn't happen the way you want it to happen? Raise your hand. David is saying, who shall ascend to the hill, to the mountain of the Lord? First of all, what in the world is this mysterious mountain, David, you're talking about? What's the deal with this mysterious mountain? He's talking about this mountain. Everybody say mountain. Who shall ascend to the mountain of the Lord? What is this mountain we've been talking about? Everybody say mountain. Mountain. Could it be that the mountain is missing from your life? Could it be the mountain is missing from your life? If the mountain is missing from your life, or a mountaintop experience is missing from your life, you are underliving life. Perhaps that's the missing component from your lifestyle. Everybody say lifestyle. Really what I'm talking about today is about this lifestyle, this quality of life. Many of us in the room, we are believers. You ain't gonna convince me that God doesn't exist and that Christ didn't come to save me. Amen. If you believe that, raise your hand. I said this last week. So it's about this quality of life. Do you really believe that there's such a place that you can go to get healed? Do you believe that there's a place that you can go to get delivered, to get instructions, to get relief? It is 2022. The pandemic seems to be still sticking around, and we need relief. If you're in here and you need relief, just raise your hand. Thank you for. I'm just because I see the sleepy eyes. He's like, bro, I'm gonna raise my hand. I see the sleepiness. I get it. The word of God. I'm up here teaching, and the word of God makes me want to go to sleep because there's a lamp to my feet, but there's also a blanket to my shoulders. It's just so comforting, ain't it? Yes, it's comforting. But we need relief. There's a lot going on. You see, I stuck my foot. When you think about life, it makes you just like, what in the world? Perhaps the relief that you are looking for is somewhere. It is somewhere, and you got to go and get it. You got to go and get your relief. You got to physically go get your relief, or you may have to mentally or metaphysically in your mind go get relief. You got to go get relief. You want your blessing, you got to go get it. You think, listen, God has blessings. He has promises for all of us, and he is omnipresent. We have to catch up with God. Amen? We got to catch up with him. So this mountain is serious business. In your notes, if you want to just write some notes about this mountain, I'll try to rush through this. I don't want to be long on this, but it's serious business. Everybody say serious business. Exodus 19:3 talks about serious business because the Bible says in Exodus 19:3, it says, then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. Everybody say that's serious business. Every time God is talking, it's what? It's serious business. B, the mountain perhaps is associated with instructions. Everybody say instructions. Exodus 19 verse 16 says, thunder and lightning and smoke and trumpet. A trumpet alarm was in this verse to basically get your attention. Why does God want to get our attention? Because he has something for us to do, something for us to know. He wants us to experience something. And it is definitely serious business. So the mountain is associated with serious business. Two, provision. Everybody say provision. Psalm 121:1 says, I will lift up my eyes to the hill from whence what cometh my help. My help comes from what? Comes from the Lord. So the mountain is associated with provision. And every last one of us in this room needs something from God. Amen. Not from Amazon, but we need something from God. Amen. Because if we are aligned with God, he can give us whatever we need from Amazon. Number three, it's a place of separation. Everybody say separation. Separation. Exodus 19:17. A place of separation. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. It's a place of separation. So you see how Moses, he got the people out of the camp, and they stood at where? What part of the mountain? They stood at the foot of the mountain. So we see like this line of demarcation where when I go past this and I prepare to ascend unto the mountain of the Lord, I am looking different. I am clearly separate from the world. I am clearly different. I talk different. Everybody say, I talk different. I look different. I sound different. So it's a place of separation. You are going to a place perhaps that your friends are not going because you are choosing to ascend the hill of the Lord. You are going to a place that your own mama and your daddy, your own brother and your sister, your own son is not necessarily committed to going. Ascending to the hill of the Lord. Number four, an atmosphere is an atmosphere of God. The culture of God. Genesis 2:10 says, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. All right. In other words, if you didn't realize this, Eden was on a mountaintop. Eden was actually on a mountain. I don't have time to prove it to you, but I don't know if we see Eden as a place of ascension, of going up. Why do we sing the song? And y'all probably can fill it in with me because many of y'all sing, I'm going up. And you sing it on pitch. What you to be with my. Eden is, it was a physical place, but it really was a place. Eden is translated the atmosphere of God. The atmosphere of God, which has a certain culture. Amen. Perhaps Nike doesn't have to be worn to be in the culture or the kingdom of God. Amen. Doesn't have to be Adidas. Amen. Doesn't have to be. What else y'all wear? Look at them shoes right there. They look like like money right there. But they don't have to be in the culture of God. As long, everybody say, Lord, as long as you are with me, I'm okay. Y'all don't be tore out the frame because you don't have XYZ on. Amen. Or you're not driving XYZ. The presence of God is enough. Psalm 16:11 says, in God's presence, there's fullness of joy, the atmosphere of God. Ascending to the hill of the Lord, the mountain is associated with God's presence. Joy in God's presence, easy. One of my favorite scriptures, Psalm 16:11. Number five, a place to display your faith. Y'all are writing in on these sheets like I'm going to give out a $100 gas card to the person that fills this in. And it may happen. I know the exact person in this room that can make it happen. Sitting at the back of the church right here, over there. It's a place to display your faith. Remember, I had a backpack on, and I had this piece right here. Actually, this is my wife's. This is Lex. This is her walking stick. All right? All right? Perhaps the mountain is a place to display your faith. Do y'all know faith has a look? Faith has a wardrobe. As a matter of fact, I know I'm corny. That's how I got my wife. If you look at the bottom of your shoes, it will tell you how much faith you have. Everybody do a bottom of your shoe check. Because some places you guys have, and decisions you have made to step was a faith move. The house you're living in, the job that you applied for, the school that you applied for, the person you married, it was a faith move. Amen? The business you decided to start. Your future bottom of your shoe is going to tell you how much faith you have. It's going to be a display of your faith. The bottom of your shoe, not the top because we keep the top clean, the bottom of your shoe. I'm almost finished. When I say that on the third time, then I mean it, all right? Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed the Lord and he credited to him as righteousness. Why? Because Abraham was asked to go somewhere and do something very risky. God, the Bible says God tested Abraham. He put him to the test. He says, Abraham, I need you to do X, Y, Z. I actually need you to sacrifice your son. And guess what? Abraham didn't think twice. Guess what Abraham did? He ascended to the hill of the Lord. And God was pleased. So it's a display of your faith. Genesis 22:2 says, then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love. It's a display of your faith. Number six, it is relief and rest. Genesis 8:4 says that Noah, basically, y'all know the Bible story, right? Which is really true. He built an ark. And on the seventh day of the seventh month, after the rain came like God said it would, like Noah said it would, and it did happen. Raise your hand just for me. The flood did happen, right? If you believe that the flood did happen, because there's a lot of people that don't believe that there was actually a flood. There's scientific proof that there was a major event that happened on the earth and that it was thousands of years ago. Believe it or not, if you don't believe that there was a flood, then do you believe that God exists? It's like you got to believe all of what's in the Bible. Makes sense? There's many of our friends, family members that believe some of the Bible. They don't believe all of the Bible. Is the word of God true? Amen. So that's just, I got to always throw that in there. So it's relief and rest. So it did happen. So there was a flood. Then it rained for how many days and how many nights? How many days are we trying to be in Aruba? 40 days and 40 nights. Got your attention now. How many days of vacation you trying to take off? 40 days and 40 nights. How long do you want spring break to be? Yes. How long do you want to be married? No, 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 no. No, ma'am. No, sir. 40 decades and 40 decades. Genesis 8:4 says, on the seventh day of the seventh month, Noah's ark came to rest where? On a mountain. Man, if I had, you ain't get my cell phone. You said on a mountain, and that's a mountain. I wasn't expecting that. A mountain symbolic of rest. 8 hours of sleep, and you're still tired because you laid down, but did you really sleep? You slept, but did you really get rest? The rest that we are in search of is on a, is you got to go and get it. You got to work for it. Amen. Man that don't work, what? Don't eat. Y'all know that. So the bottom line today, as I'm literally on the second half of this teaching, of these considerations this morning, is three. You say, what did he talk about today? F3. F, free will. F, faith. F, future state. My future state, a.k.a. the quality of life, is affected by how I freely choose to exercise my faith. My future state, mentally, metaphysically, or physically, my future state, a.k.a. the quality of life, we save in this room. I can really stop now. We're all going to heaven. But what is the quality of life we're living? Amen. How are we living in our head? How are we living in our heart? It's affected by how I freely choose. Everybody say freely. Choose to exercise my faith. So just a two-minute review, because upstate, I spoke here last week, and I talked about this, but it's a little bit mixed into the old. Who may ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in the holy place? We know that this is a question. So we talked about ascending credentials. The one who has clean hands, if you want to write that, clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol, who swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication of God from God, their Savior. Excuse me. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Who may ascend is actually free will. Who? Everybody say who? Who may ascend? Who may ascend? We talked about this last week. I want to dig a little bit deeper. Who may stand in the holy place? Everybody say free will. The definition of free will is, as you're writing, the capacity of agents to choose between different possible courses of action without interference. You are free to write on this sheet right now, or you can choose not to. If you do fill it in, you may get a $100 gift card from Starbucks. Free will is closely linked to the concepts of moral responsibility. praise, sin, and other judgments which apply only to actions that are freely chosen. So many people don't believe that we as Christians have free will, or that God created us to have free will, but they don't have a problem with arresting somebody for their actions. Knowing free will, listen, free will is associated with arrest. Why are you arresting somebody? Why are you prosecuting somebody? Because you said they are responsible for their what? They are responsible for their actions. Everybody say free will. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may? You have the option not to have a certain quality of life. You don't have to. You don't have to live good. You don't have to live with peace. You can choose to be depressed. You can choose to do X, Y, Z. You can choose to disobey your parents. But the better quality of life is associated with making good choices. Psalm 24 says, it kind of highlights that there are two options. So there's the opposite of ascending is descending. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? The opposite of ascending is descending. The opposite of blessings, because if you have clean hands, pure hearts, and you have not lifted up your soul into vanity or idols, you will receive blessings. The opposite of blessings is what? It's curses. I feel like I should take an intermission for some reason. Y'all still writing? Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walks in the counsel of the ungodly. And notice that that particular motion causes you to descend. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? But Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So you have two paths you can take. You can choose to ascend the hill of the Lord, or you can choose to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You can take your hiking gear and you can walk in one direction, and one is going to equal blessings and the other one is going to equal what? Curses. The Bible says in Psalm 1, nor stand in the way of sinners. So blessed is the person that does not stand in the way of sinners. Blessed is the person that does not stand in the way of sinners. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may do what? Stand in the holy place, in his holy place. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that does not stand in the way of sinners. When you do make the choice to stand in the way of sinners, it invites evil and it invites destruction. Y'all see how, to me, Psalm 24 is screaming free will. It's screaming choice. You have the option to and you have the option not to. Paul said, when I want to do good, what's happening here? Am I doing evil, or evil is present, is providing another option? When I want to do good, evil is what? It's present. So you now have two options. This is a powerful statement Frank Turret says. He says, God would not force you in his presence against your will. God said, listen, if this is what you want, bruh, this is what you're going to get. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you what? The desires of your heart. If you do not delight yourself in the Lord, he will do what? Give you the desires of your heart. Jesus himself said, not my will. He had to humble himself and say, not my will, but God, your will be done. Romans 1 says, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Getting tight in here now, but I didn't meant for it to be tight, but it is what it is. Amen. God will give Alpheus the desire of my heart. If, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Everybody say, get past the if. I'm almost finished. That's my second one. We are one decision away from changing. Everybody say one decision. I said this last week. The decision to change, write this down. The decision to change is a part of the change. The decision to change is a part of the change. The decision to change is a part of the change. Certain choices you make, it triggers a new way of life. When you make a certain choice, it triggers something good or something bad. All right? Hebrews 4:16. Everything last week led up to this. The bottom line, you are free to pick up your credentials to ascend the hill of the Lord. Christ qualifies us to access the throne of grace. All right, because, guys, we would never, listen, apart from Christ, we would never be good enough. Apart from Christ, we would never be righteous. All right, so you're saying I'm a Christian, but, man, I do bad stuff all the time. I knowingly foul. Anybody watching March Madness? Scream your favorite team so you'll wake up. Your favorite team, South Carolina girls. Ain't they crushing it? Did y'all see that game? They willingly sometimes foul. Do y'all see that on the court? Kiki, I know you know about this. They willingly do wrong. They willingly do wrong. So it's like, man, how can I be in right standing with God? It's through Christ. Hebrews 4:16 says, read it with me, ready, set, go. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Philippians 3:9, ready, set, go. And be found in him not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which come through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Everybody say faith. Faith journey. Do you believe? What does your faith look like? What does your faith look like? So there's something I got to clear up and I'm done. Because last week I said we're not saved by works. We're saved through the grace of God. We're saved by faith. All right, so it's both and. Everybody say both and. So on your sheet, if you turn to the next, it is both and. Paul wrote this in Ephesians 2. He said, it's for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Verse 10, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works. If it sounds like I'm rushing, I am. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. Do y'all see that? We're saved by grace, or are we saved by works? Paul is not confused by this passage. It's actually his testimony. He lived this passage. I am not going to answer that. I'm going to let the word of God answer it. So this clarity statement, write it down, please. The clarity statement is, it's by God's grace that you have your life. It is by God's grace that you are living. It is by God's grace that you are living. It is a gift to exercise your faith. Faith is meant to be exercised. The Bible says we all have a measure of faith. But how are we freely exercising the faith that's on the inside of us? How are we freely exercising the gifts that are on the inside of us? It's both and. James 2 says, so this is interesting because if it was just about faith and salvation, then the demons can be saved. Can demons be saved? Some say yeah. This is like a class now. Some say yes. Yeah, some say no. So James 2 says, thus also faith by itself does not have works, is dead. We summarize it like this often. Faith without works is what? Faith without works is dead. Verse 18 says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. So it's like we flexing. Bruh, I got faith. Well, I'm doing this. I got faith, but I'm doing this. I'm wearing this. I'm doing this. I'm talking like this. Who's right? You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Verse 19 says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. It seems like that's easy. Amen. It's easy. Everybody doesn't believe that there's a God, but it's easy to believe that there's a God. Amen. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. So are the demons going to heaven? Are they saved? Are they rescued? But they believe they have faith. Or do they have faith? Do they have faith? Verse 21, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. Faith was made perfect by his works. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Listen, Linda, you all have said, listen, you are not my friend because you don't what? You don't act like it. You say I'm your friend. You actually invite me to your house, but seemingly behind my back, your actions are different. Anybody ever experienced that? So you say one thing, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then the man is justified by works and not by faith only. Everybody say, it's both and. It's both and. So the demon belief has no work supporting his belief. But we as Christians, we have what? We have works. We have actions supporting our belief. Amen. I think it was an old song that said you should show some signs. You got to show some signs, guys. If we are a Christian and we're trying to hide it, are we really saved? Are we ashamed of the Christ that's on the inside of us? No. Let's show some signs. Amen. We got to show signs at school. We got to show signs at work. Amen. I thought somebody was going to clap right there, wake us up. I'm almost finished. This is the third one. So you know that means we're going to get out before 12. I see the clock up there. Galatians 3:11 says, so it's like this faith works, faith work, faith work, faith. Do it with me. Faith work, faith work, faith work, faith work. This is for the kids. Faith work again. Faith work, faith work, faith work, faith work. So it's like this circle of faith and works. The circle of faith. I pray because I have faith that the person I'm praying to is going to heal me. Even if he doesn't heal me right now. I'm praying because I have faith that the person that I'm praying to is going to get me out of debt soon. Amen. I have faith. I fast because I know that my fasting is not in vain because the Bible says fasting works. Amen. So y'all see how it's working together? Actions. We got to have some actions with this. Galatians 3:11 says, and it is clear that no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteousness will live by faith. Living is works. Amen. You're living by faith. All right. Is this all right? Are y'all okay? I'm really almost finished. Like, I'm about to be like done. Okay, I'll take my time. One of my students said, take your time. Not a Romans 2:13 says, I'm not going to take my time. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but it is the doers of the law who will be declared righteous. But always when you're struggling with, I'm not living up to God's standard, like I missed it today. Go back to this clarity statement, because you do get an E for effort. But the effort that you put in is tied to your faith, all right? Point blank, period. I'm not here to debate about once saved, always saved. But guys, listen, if you believe in Christ and you believe that God sent Jesus to earth to save your messed up soul, your ugly self, if you believe that, guess what? Clean hands. Guess what? Pure hearts. Like, the blood is sprinkled over your sins. That makes sense? Now, I know you waking up feeling guilty. You're going to bed feeling guilty. But hopefully this will, listen, guys, do away with that guilt. Because that would only lead you to do more. You ever felt guilty for eating a whole bag of chips? You say, and then the next day, guess what you end up doing? Eating another bag of chips. The guilt did nothing for you. It did nothing for you. What is guilt going to do for you? Nothing. Just know that everything we need is on the mountain. It does take work. And you will know when you're not ascending the hill of the Lord. You will know when you're off. You'll know when things are not aligned with the will of God. You'll know when you're not exercising your faith. You will know it. Perhaps you are one hike away from your breakthrough. Perhaps one hike away from your breakthrough. Many of us are saved, but these promises that we're supposed to have on earth and in the next life, anybody other than me won't these promises. Y'all can stand. I want these promises. I don't want to be depressed 360 days out of 365 days of the year. I don't want to be broke 365 days out of 365 days of the year. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? And we know what the mountain is associated with: relief, provision. It's associated with instructions. We need help, and we're not going anywhere. Like, you cannot stay in one place and get help. And it's not always physical. Sometimes it is metaphysical. You can go to God. That's where Jesus came. You can go straight to God in your spirit. You can go straight to God in your what? You can ask God for healing and don't have to come to this altar. You can go straight to God in your what? In your spirit. You can ask for help and don't have to leave your room. You don't have to call Tyrone. Maybe he's played out. I don't know who it is now. You don't have to call anybody for help. You can go straight to God for help. E for effort. Psalm 51, David says, listen, I believe God, but listen, I need my quality of life to improve. Because he know the benefits of ascending to the hill of the Lord. He says, create in me a pure heart. Read this with me. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, a.k.a. mountain, or take your Holy Spirit, a.k.a. mountain, from me. Verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation, which is found where? The joy of your salvation. Psalm 6 and 11, joy in his presence, this ascending to another place. This mountain of God is holy. It's mysterious, but it's holy. It is like, it is not just better than us. God is not just better than us. He is better than us, but not just better than us. He is other than us. Make sense? He's other than. Restore to me. This is David talking. Restore. So now he's talking about this quality of life, because he's saying, I don't have the quality of life. I am living beneath my potential. He's saying, restore to me the joy of your salvation. We're saved, but it just needs renovating. It needs restoring. Amen. And grant me a what kind of spirit? A willing spirit. Y'all see free will? David didn't have to pray this. If you want to stay broke, stay broke. If you want to stay in mess, stay in mess. That's what I know. That's Frank. God is saying, you don't want me. I'm good with it. He said, grant me a willing spirit to what? Sustain me. I know somebody else other than me, if you can close your eyes, needs sustaining. I know it's not just me. So I just said that you can go to God in your spirit. You can go to God in your spirit. And I feel that you guys are actually going to God in your spirit right now, because things are flashing in your head that you need to delete, abolish, to adjust. Things you actually need to pick up on this journey. You need to take some things on this journey. David freely messed up, and he is freely ascending by asking, acknowledging, and apologizing through repentance. Because the Spirit of God is attracted to purity and honesty. God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world. Guys, Alfie is not here to condemn anybody. Jesus didn't condemn. I can't condemn. But he did through Jesus. We might be saved. It's only a might because the ball is in our court. So I'll leave you with this and I'm finished. How you want to live? How y'all want to keep living? How do you want to live? We may be over the hill, age-wise. We may be over the hill. But that doesn't mean we don't stop looking to the hill. Yep, arthritis is coming, but it doesn't have to remain. There is relief. There's documented relief in God's presence. We know certain things comes with old age. Amen. But there is relief in God's presence and pleasures forevermore on earth. On earth. And can you lift your hands symbolic of us actually going somewhere in the spirit?